We're back on the air. This is Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is Jeffrey Davis. I'm host of the show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in and for all of our new success that we've had with the show. It's a great team we have on Radio Entrepreneurs. I want to thank my guest host who's with me today, John Dustin from JED Insurance. Welcome, John.
Jeff, always a pleasure to be back.
Thank you, John. I hope I run into you in the Cape this year.
Yeah, last year was kind of fun. We were down there for about a week. I rented a boat for the first time, did a few different things. I had never driven a boat. I took it out on the windiest day. Oof. I'm not a quick study.
Well, I went out last week and I scared my cousins. 17-mile-an-hour swirling winds in my sailboat, so I scared them. I don't know if they'll ever go with me again. Our next guest, Mark Parent. That was not
That's
easy
right,
for
Parent.
Me. From Map Advisors.
Right, right. Hi. Thanks for having me. It's
great,
fantastic.
Mark, let's figure out what the map tells us. What is Map Advisors all about?
So Map Advisors, of course, MAP is my initials, and I was born with those initials, and I've always loved them. It's very meaningful. So I'm an outsourced CFO and COO for companies generally under $10 million. For the folks that are just getting to the point that they need to expand their business, and they need to really focus on what do they do well. It's a lot of that is, let's go in and talk about the SWOT analysis that people do, the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. It's amazing how many people are spending a lot of time in their weak areas, and they're not spending a lot of time in their strengths. And so a lot of times I'll go in and I'll help them focus on what their strengths are, and I'll take off the pieces that they're weak at. And so if you think about those smaller companies, the guys or the ladies that are very good at selling, creating partnerships, expanding their business, those are great opportunities for me to help them take the things off that they're not very good at. And so, and the other piece is I actually enjoy helping a lot more than one company. Traditionally, people like me are working for one company. That's their job. They do that their whole lives and they retire. I love helping a bunch of different companies, and that's, I think, a very rewarding thing.
Can you give us a list, in general, the most common problems you find in small business when you first get in there?
The most common problem, it's an interesting topic. The most common problem that I see is, it's a little deep, but at the beginning, they don't like to share what's going on with their business. They tell you everything's fine, oh, we're doing great. You know, we're a million-dollar business, and, we brought on a bunch of new clients. And so there's a trust thing, right? They don't want to tell you about the bad news. That's typically, I think, in a lot of areas. The problem that I recognize is getting them to tell me what the problems are. And sometimes they don't even realize it themselves. A lot of times it's just... they tell you the surface. They tell you what's really happening with their business. They don't tell you the deeper issues that maybe they have an employee problem. So
they're looking at the symptoms as opposed to the real issues.
They may be looking at the symptoms. They may be not even recognizing that, oh, geez, I'm spending half of my day going over my day-to-day stuff when I should be looking at a better way of handling this work. An example would be a company that gets in a lot of leads. They do marketing and a bunch of leads come in and they go out to the sales team, and the sales team's got to manage all of those leads. And the owner of the business at the end of the day is saying, okay, I got 27 leads that came in today. How did we do on each one of them? And who'll want to go through and look at all of those leads and figure it out? Okay, well, 2 hours went by. That's a pretty tough way to keep on top of things. And what happens when it gets to 54 leads? You can't keep doing that. And so they get stuck doing their day-to-day business, and they're not really looking at it from an outside level to say, okay, we have to kind of reinvent things so that we can expand and grow. And they get stuck really with what's going on every day.
Do you find they have control issues, a lot of entrepreneurs, where they want to control everything?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's very typical.
I didn't give them that question to answer. Why are you out of my script? No, I'm just being controlling.
Yeah. Yeah, let's get back in line here, right? So that's very typical that I see. A lot of folks, they cash is really important. A lot of folks don't want to give up control of the cash. And so I tell them, Well, imagine somebody else doing that work and allowing you to keep control, but you don't have to spend as much time on that. Wouldn't that be fantastic? And they say, oh yeah, that would be great. And then you get into, okay, let's talk about how that would actually work. And it's amazing. They think, okay, I have 40 different vendors that we need to pay. I know which ones to pay right away, which ones that you can pay a little bit slower. I know the intricacies of cash. And after you have a conversation with them, they start to realize, oh, okay, well, this guy could actually do that for me. So what if I could spend 15 minutes a week on my cash as opposed to 3 hours a week? So it's more of letting someone else into your community, into your tight circle, and trusting them.
Sorry. I always call it the Wayback Machine because I watched Rocky Bullwinkle as a kid. Let's get in the Wayback Machine. Give us your career background so we get a sense of your financial experience.
Yeah. So I have my accounting degree. And so I wanted to get into business. I wanted to just become an accountant for businesses. And I went down that path. And I found, even in my first job, that I was kind of escaping out of the accounting room and wanting to learn about the business. It's been pretty much my passion is how do these numbers make sense to somebody? Okay, I'm producing these numbers for somebody, but where are they coming from? And so my curiosity has always followed me throughout my career. So when I first started off, I started off the typical accounts payable, then you go up to accounting manager, then controller. And so I went to another company. We created computer-aided design software, and I came in. It was a turnaround situation. It's an interesting story that we could have a long conversation about that, but everything was a disaster. I came in. There was no financials. There was no forecasting. There was no processes. They'd just come out of Chapter 11. There was chaos. You couldn't get credit cards for the company. So many things, a lot of baseline things needed to be taken care of. So I took care of a lot of that stuff. And then I started to venture out of the accounting department and started wandering around and found that, oh boy, there's problems everywhere within this business. And so I got involved with sales and marketing and product development, and they promoted me to chief operating officer after about 3 years of being at that company. And at that point, it was fantastic. We were going through resellers at some point. And again, you know, when you're in Chapter 11, a lot of the people that are still there have been living through a lot of pain. There's a lot of issues that they had to deal with. So the business is kind of at fault here. They're the ones who brought everything to this point. So when you're coming back out of that, you have to realize there's still good people in this. You just got to figure out which ones are the good people, which ones have been beaten down so much, maybe it's good to move on. What systems you got to put in place? And then you have to look at the business and decide, okay, so what's our competition? How do we compete against them? What does our product look like? What's the strengths of those products? And with that escape out of the accounting department, I got to look at this this CAD company, and we were competing against PTC, Autodesk, Dassault, billion-dollar companies, and we're really small. How do you compete from a marketing standpoint? You can't compete head-to-head. You got to think about what's a good niche. So we started to focus on, okay, what are the strengths of these products? And we spent a lot of time talking about that. And we figured out, okay, here's our differentiators that are very strong differentiators. What type of companies can capitalize on these differentiators that are going to want to buy our product? And so we came across what they call job shops. And a job shop, I'm not sure if you folks are familiar with it, but job shop is a manufacturing company that takes in a lot of different jobs, and they're usually smaller run jobs.
Custom jobs.
To specification of the client.
Yeah. Right. And so our product fit in perfectly for that scenario. And we focused our marketing efforts on it, our sales efforts on it, what our website looked like based on that. And we became successful at doing that. And it was a very positive impact that allowed us to say, okay, now we know how to compete. So by breaking out of that accounting department to where I think I naturally love being, it makes me realize that being aware of how to grow a business, being aware of how to solve tough problems is what I'd like to do for the rest of my life. And so when I left my last company, I thought, okay, how do I share this knowledge? How do I make a living at it? How do I empower myself to be able to do this until someday I want to retire?
You know, you said you like to work with small business. Are you industry agnostic?
So that's actually kind of an interesting question. When I first started thinking about this, so my background is high tech service and software, and I thought, oh, should I focus on that? And I thought, nah, I don't know if I want to limit myself to that. And so I decided, well, let's see how the opportunities flow. Maybe you hone your message after a while and you realize that, okay, I could focus on this type of company, be very specific. But I've decided that I can help a lot of different companies. I have a manufacturing company. I have a website design company. I have a distribution company. Trying to sign up a restaurant. It's actually gone all over the place. Yeah.
And all those businesses have the same blueprint for disaster control. What are they good at? Should they be growing the business front room, back room, and
right.
the metrics? What metrics are we
right.
looking at?
Mark, very interesting. If somebody wants to find you at Map Advisors, how would they do that?
So I have my website, mapadvisors.biz. You can come visit my website. I encourage folks to come there. I also encourage on there, you'll have my contact information. Call me up. I'd love to talk to you. Send me an email. The LinkedIn is another great way to connect. There's many different ways, but if you start with my website, it'll point you in all those directions.
I want to thank you for being on the show today. Maybe you'll come back another time, tell us about a case, break it down for us.
Absolutely.
That would be fun.
Yeah, I'd love to talk about the turnaround world, too. That's
we'd love that.
Turnaround, very interesting stories. Yeah.
I love turnaround stories.
Yeah.
I want to thank also my guest host, John Dustin, JED Insurance. Thanks, John.
Greatly appreciate you having me here, Jeff.
Great. And if someone wants to find you, John, how would they do that?
508-543-1067 on the web, www.jedinsurance, and by email, john.dustin, D-U-S-T-A-I-N, at jedinsurance.com.
It's almost like he had asked me to say that. It came out of him so fast, didn't it? Wow.
I think he was begging to
get
that out.
Regurgitation.
He would have said it if you were going to ask her or not, right?
I don't know. He was good. My name is Jeffrey Davis. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back with more entrepreneurial stories in just a minute.